Public Broadcasting Network. I am the guest host today for Jeffrey Bennett. Jeffrey Bennett was just on a couple hours ago for a two-hour show, and he asked me if I would fill in for today. I am your host, Maggie Rose, and I am normally on Mondays from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and that's 8 to 9 Eastern, and also on Fridays at the same time. We are returning today. We are going to be talking about a lot of different things, not the least of which is regarding the VA and the situation with some of the veterans that have been sharing their stories with me. We might have a guy out of Indiana that tried to call in on Friday, and we asked for him to call in on Monday. He's a veteran that has had some really, really horrible things happening to him, but we're going to be giving him his own 1 to 2 hours to explain the entire story. So if he does call into the show from Indiana, I want you to welcome him, and he'll be giving us a brief synopsis of what happened to him as a veteran and what he's noticed happening in the VA hospitals, as well as what's going on with his grandson that is in the Army right now and dealing with some of the same medical hurdles that the active duty military and the VA system has been putting our veterans through. But I want to welcome back a person that I have been following for a long time. And, you know, we all learn from each other as broadcasters. Just because some of us have been at this a while doesn't mean that we don't learn new things. And sometimes we as broadcasters, because sometimes we are a little bit subjective and our opinions, and that's usually based on our life experiences, what we've experienced, the paths that we've walked, the people that we've met, have all in one way or another, I won't say colored us, but have basically helped push us along to form certain ideas that some of us know that are in cement. I mean, there's certain truths that you cannot argue with, and even the very far left are going to try to twist what we say. They're going to try to say the complete opposite. They're going to label us. They're going to call us names. They're going to defame us and slander us. But you know what? We know that we have God, and we know what the truth is, and we are going to stand firm. I took an oath to the Constitution every time I re-up for 35 years to defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, there's some people listening in on the show tonight who, I'll say something again at the bottom of the hour. We have Sharon who's listening right now. She has some indigenous background. I want to give her a shout out. I met her today and actually purchased a beautiful antique picture from her. And I want to say a shout out to Joe, who is an Army veteran that lives in my community that's listening to today's show as well. And I want to put a shout out to Dan Thomas and his son Colton, who both own an antique store, and they are also listening to the show tonight. And they're very excited that I am bringing back as my co-host tonight somebody that was also in the military. He also took an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I think he would agree that even when we hung up our uniform and we put our boots up on the top shelf and we never served in uniform again, that that oath that we took is never going to expire except with our last breath. And then somebody else will carry on our oath. Would you agree, Jim Price? This is Jim Price of the Jim Price Show out of Kansas. Jim, thank you for coming back on tonight.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, back on. Thank you so much for having me. It's my oath. I'm 52 and I enlisted at 17. I went into basic training early, and I always get choked up at the Star Spangled Banner even today. But my oath is always there, and my belief in my country is always there.
Well, you know, God bless you and thank you for your service. Now, you have been doing the Jim Price Show for quite some time. I've been following you for a long time. In fact, when I was in Kansas City for the election integrity seminar with Laura Logan of the Laura Logan Has No Agenda, and with my friend Juan O'Savin and some other people that you know, they were all telling me about your show and that a lot of people in Kansas are following you. Now, your show airs Monday through Friday from 5 to p.m. Central Time, right? And you also
5 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh, is it
4 p.m. Central?
Okay.
Yeah.
5 no p.m. Eastern time. Okay. And then you can be found at www.thejimpriceshow.podbean.com.
Oh, it's thejimpriceshow.com. Thejimpriceshow.com, just anywhere. But if you go anywhere like Facebook or Twitter or Podbean or Cloud Hub or any of that, you just put in The Jim Price Show. Now, a lot of those places like Facebook and Twitter, they've got me so shadow banned. You have to spell it all the way out. Even when I'm looking for myself, I have to search for me. So go out there, check it out, thejimpriceshow.com.
Great. Now, can you share a little bit about your experience in the military and some of the challenges that you underwent?
Yeah, I was actually very fortunate in high school, freshman, sophomore year. I was able to be in the Marine Corps ROTC in high school. We had M1 Garands on site. We had a firing range. We cleaned our weapons, and I believed in our country. I believed in our country was always the noble one. Was always looking out for the lessers of, and I went into the Air Force, ended up to be a F-16 maintenance specialist crew chief, and I got hurt, and I was honorably discharged for my service-connected injuries. They said thank you, and I thought, okay, cool, this is where the government does their little thing, where the government does, right? Because government's all about helping out. They're always about those programs, those social welfare things that, you help the ones that have been hurt. And so I went home and promptly worked on getting myself better so I could continue functioning on. And I kind of time went by. I thought, well, maybe I hear something about my service-connected, disability, right? Well, it took a while, and then I was like, okay, well, maybe I need to find out. So I started asking questions, and back then there was no internet. So I went in 89. And so there's no, there's no internet back then. And so I have to mail off. Well, there was this pushback, that pushback, this pushback. 23 years later, I got a 10% disability for my service-connected injuries that had been existent the entire time. And they said that, you know, oh, yes, you should have been getting these. But because of your last apply, your last application for benefits, that's when the clock started on retro pay. So it doesn't matter that they only gave me 10%, but then on top of it, they said, oh, from the last time you applied. So it's just insult to injury. And that's the VA, you know, they all talk about how, you know, they're out there doing for what they should for the folks. And there are guys and people in the organization that are genuinely. I get it. I've met them. And I appreciate those people. But there's obviously some hidden bureaucracy, some hidden hand that really does get in the way of just honestly just taking care of the human body and sometimes the soul of the man. And that's a lot of what gets broken is the man gets broken inside, but then the body follows behind it. So what injury may have been a minor injury, it may have been a blister, and I'm being a little facetious here, but the problem is the injury to the heart, the injury to the soul, well, that blister becomes now an amputated arm because it got gangrene. And that's the sad part, is we don't pay attention to those things the way we should. And that's our problem. And the VA, that there's men out there who need help, but they don't want to go and be put on a list because now they said they're going to take their guns away. Because if you go get medical attention for psychiatric help, meaning you get a depressant, antidepressant, you get a mood-altering, maybe a Valium or whatever, and you go to their psychological evaluation, you're immediately put on a list to then have your guns then either confiscated or taken inventory of. So why would I want to give away my gun rights to go to the VA to get the help for the mental stuff that I'm broken on the inside, and now my body's falling apart because my soul's broke? You see the downward slide that we've created where men can't bother to come and be open about what it is. I mean, all these other guys can dress weird and go in women's bathrooms, but our servicemen can't bother. And I'm not saying that this doesn't happen, that their guys aren't getting good care. I'm not saying that. There are those. But then there's an awful lot of stories where you're hearing that 22 military men or women are killing themselves daily. And that number right there really throws off the whole narrative that we're doing the best we can, because that number's not sliding downward. It hasn't been decreasing by 10% a year. It's just a constant. It's what we accept as normal. And see, and that right there, it tells me that, you know, if we're going to send these kids to a meat grinder in a foreign land to fight about something that none of us agreed to, except for some higher-ups on a chessboard, that they're playing a game we don't understand, and they send us that meat grinder, and then we come home, and those guys can't just bother to be, you know, I don't think people want to have their head patted, you know, and be told them they're a good boy, but at the same time, with some respect and dignity, to care for the body that might be broken. And this is the part where that's, as a country, if we're not doing that for the least of us, we've got it all wrong. And I push for that a lot in my show. Go ahead.
It is. And that's what I've been noticing you talking a lot in your show about that. And I was like, oh, my God, this is a man after my own heart. It's because the fact is these are some of the things they don't want us talking about. You know that, Jim. I myself, it was interesting, the politics, the good old boy system that's going on. My husband and I, we were stationed south of the border from where we live now, and I would get a phone call telling me that they really needed me to come up and interview for a job as a psychiatric nurse. You know, I'd gone through 17 months of nursing school after my prerequisites. I passed the state board on the first try because I studied my butt off with most of my classmates. Other people were trying to pass the state board for the second, third, and fourth time taking the test, trying to pass it the first time. So, you know, my husband puts me in the car, drives me 8 hours, gets me up here on a Monday morning to be interviewed. And they say, we definitely want you, but they're not going to let us hire you. And I said, why? And they said, because they're trying to keep it within the good old boy system here. The people here in HR at the Roseburg VA, they want to hire their family members and their friends and their friends of friends. And so they have to put out the ad that they're looking for help. They have to interview. They have to take your application, but they're only playing the game to make it look like they're doing everything legal. Well, I found out later that even though my husband and I were both disabled veterans, that they were playing these games, and then they say, oh, we lost your application, or we went on vacation. When we came back from vacation, your application disappeared, and now the closing, you know, the closing limit. So this was a game going on. And then I noticed they were killing people at the VA Roseburg by over-medicating them or mixing medications, and one doctor would not talk to another doctor. And, of course, because they're the VA, they cover it up. And when you go and you report them because of nurses slapping a patient or nurses smacking a patient or nurses ignoring a patient because of the fact that he's got dementia and they don't want to deal with him, what they do is they let you take it to somebody who's they're a problem solver in the VA, and he calls you in. He says, okay, I'm going to note down all your evidence, all your documentation, all your evidence, but you're never going to know the results of our investigation. And then again, you know, it's the fox in charge of the hen house, and for 20 years, I've seen nothing has changed.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. That's the sad part of that is and there's a movie called The Watchmen, but I'm not referencing that. I'm saying, who's watching the watchmen? Who are the ones watching those that administer law and health care and different parts of our society? I mean, if we're not actually standing a post as free Americans, as we should stand a post and say, hey, you're my public servant, I will hold you accountable. No, I won't. I don't want you sitting behind a tree doing LIDAR all day. I want you walking a beat. I want you getting to know the neighborhood. Mr. and Mrs. VA, let's make sure that these guys have access to things that will benefit them. I was telling you yesterday when we were off the air that I spent 2 years of my own money going to an acupuncturist just so I could keep walking. And I'm not kidding you. Like, I was hunched over. I'm only 52, and there were times I was worried I was going to go to a walker. And I got myself healthy by going there. And by the stimulants that she was doing with my back, with those threads that really do create miracles in your body to heal itself, but it took time. But the VA, because of the head of the medical staff at this VA in Wichita, Kansas, she is a certified acupuncturist, and she can do field acupuncture, which is supposed to have these pain blocker points in your ears. Well, that doesn't actually fix anything that is what acupuncture does, which is stimulate the organ to actually work and heal itself. No, this is just a pain blocker. These were little studs as if I was getting my ear pierced and they had a barb on them, and the pain got so intense. I grabbed a pair of pliers, and I'm not kidding you, 5 of these things in the cartilage of my ear, and I had to get a hold of it and yank them out because they were hurting me so bad and causing me like almost panic, which I've never really felt like that before, like you're almost claustrophobic. Like, I got to get these things out of my ear. They're killing me. But that lady would rather do that to me than actually let the VA pay for the services that this other lady was already certified through the VA to give services. But she came in and stopped that program because she had become acupuncture certified. Well, where's that selfish nature coming from? Why is that a thing? Why can't we go to our doctors and our medical professionals nowadays without fearing that they may be doing something that's actually going to alter us? Even clear down to our DNA and other things like that. I mean, there's things that they're doing now with these government chemicals that it's really getting too much. Why can't we trust these folks anymore? Why can't we go to the VA and feel like we're being honored and given dignity? Why can't we go to our government that we're paying so much for that they just dismiss us because we haven't stood them up and said, be accountable to us?
Exactly. You know, and the thing is I tried to share this with them 20 years ago, 15 years ago, in 2020, when my dad's provider was trying to tell them you had to be very careful with his medications. He's very fragile right now. And the nurses were trying to push the providers at Roseburg VA to over-medicate the patients using chemicals as a restraint. If the nurses don't want to deal with the dementia patient and sit down and talk to him. They'd rather sit at the nurse's station and drink a cup of coffee and chat with each other than go out into the dining room or the living room and sit down with one of our veterans and talk to him. Because many of these veterans, even with dementia, they can carry on a very straightforward conversation. But many of these nurses are there just to collect a paycheck. They're there to get their government VA benefits as a government federal employee and be able to work towards their 30-year letter to retire. And they really should not be in nursing, because so many women nowadays and men are going to nursing for the money and not because of the fact they care about our patients, our clients, whether they're veterans or not. And I brought this up and they considered me a potential whistleblower who is not working at the VA, but who is actually a veteran getting my care there. And because of what they did, my dad died in 2020. Just before that, a couple of his friends in the apartment complex he was in, they died. And I saw an article, and I went and read it, Jim, and you can find it under YouTube at WFLA News Channel 8. That's WFLA News Channel 8. And you can find it there on the documentary is also on military.com. And it's about the documentary that I watched, and it's called Delay, Delay, Deny, Deny, and Hope You Die in the Process. And this is all about the VA and how they keep delaying veterans in being able to have their paperwork processed. They keep denying them the medical care that they really need. And they're just hoping that we're going to die before they have to pay out too much in the way of veterans compensation.
Well, they blew me off for 23 years to only finally give me a 10% disability. And it's like, this is the VA that says, okay, by the way, you can't work here because of your disability, because of what happened to you. And, but by the way, we'll deny that it's really a thing for 23 years and then blow. I mean, it's just, the sad part of this is not that there isn't enough funding. And it really, everything we're talking about is actually effort. It's not that there's not zeros there, not that there isn't bodies there, but like you just said, there are people and they're applying for jobs. They're applying for a job that says they're going to wipe butts. And you have to be the first one to say, I don't wipe butts. It's like, how do you do that? How do you go into a job and like, oh, I hate working here? You applied for the job. You know, what are you doing here for? If it's not about the people, then that's a change of heart, right? And then that means we have an identity problem as a nation when the souls of men and women who work with our elderly and our frail, our society has somehow made these kind of people. We have to look to ourselves and say, have we built the right kind of society around? Is it selfless or selfish? We have a society that is out there doing this to itself. We have a government that is eating us and devouring us. We have to really think about this whole thing completely different. Say, we can't be a part of the victimization. We've got to stand up and be self-reliant. As a constitutional republic, it is about the individual skills to be self-reliant. You know, too many times we look at this whole idea that we keep having all these social services pay for everything, but we shouldn't. We should be looking to each other for that.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting because I remembered the time that my husband was supposed to go in for surgery. And in order for him to be able to get around after surgery, he needed to put his knee on one of those scooters because he wasn't to put any weight bearing on his foot. So about 6 weeks before the surgery, which they were sending him out into the community, by the way, for the surgery through their so-called what they now call community care, which half the time doesn't work properly. He put in the paperwork. His doctor, who sent him to the consul to get the foot surgery, was supposed to sign the paperwork so it could go back to prosthetics, and then they could make sure that he was issued the scooter at least a couple days before surgery. Well, after 6 weeks of them not answering, probably about 4 days before surgery, I actually went to the VA, and I walked up to the front desk of the clinic, and I said, what is going on? He doesn't have a scooter. And they went back and said, oh, the doctor was never given the paperwork to sign, so it was never ordered. So here's my poor husband about to go into surgery, and he's not going to be able to have any way to get from the bedroom, you know, or to the bed to the bathroom. So I was really angry, and I raised my voice, and I said, what good are you around here if you don't communicate with each other and you can't even do your damn job? And I turned around and walked out. I didn't threaten anybody. I didn't go postal. I didn't cuss. I didn't swear. I don't think I even used the word damn, but I know I was thinking. But I said, you know, if you can't even do your job, that's what you're here for. And as I went out the front door, the guy who was the federal police officer at the time there on the campus, he's a good friend of mine at the time, and he was running by me in the door. And I said to him, I said, you know, where are you going? He said, oh, they say some woman is going crazy in the clinic right now. She's getting ready to go postal. And I laughed and I said, Will, I'll talk to you later. And so he ran by me, and I talked to him later, and he said, you were that woman? I said, yeah. He said, well, they called me up and told me that you were causing a huge disruption, and they were fearful for their life, and you were getting ready to go postal on them. And I go, really? Did I look very postal to you? And I walked out the door, and he goes, no, not at all. Well, now that was many years ago, Jim. Fast forward to about a week and a half ago. I have been trying for 2.5 to 3 years to deal with what happened to my dad when they killed him by over-medicating him, when his provider said, don't use this medication. She went on vacation, and the nurses pressured someone else to do it. They almost killed my husband about a year ago, and again, 6 months ago. They have not been taking care of him properly. And so I went asking, well, why is it my medical care was withheld from me that I had this condition? 2017, 2019, 2020, I had this serious, serious medical condition. And it wasn't until the recent doctor that I just got told me. And I put a paper in, Jim, with the advocacy. Now, the advocacy tells me nobody listens to them. And it's true, because that paper was put in last June. I have been trying to see the director of the hospital, who's been there for 8 months. He's not willing to meet with me except for 20 to 30 minutes maximum. And I've got a laundry list going back for the last 10 years of issues that all the veterans are complaining about, and he obviously doesn't want to hear it. So what I did was I went, Jim, to the hospital last week. Mm-hmm. I went up to the top floor, and I said, I'm looking for this particular doctor who is the husband of a doctor I used to have, and I just wanted to share with him that I was going to be writing an article about the VA Roseburg. And long and short of it, when they came running up to me, a bunch of people, and said, who are you looking for? And I said, I'm looking for this doctor. Oh, well, he's downstairs, one floor down. I will take you down there. So they asked me, what did I need? And I said, I need this particular issue to be brought up, and I need to talk to him. Do you know what she did after she took me down there? She called the federal police on me, and they came running. And they were listening on the other side of the door, and they could hear there was nothing wrong going on. I was having a pleasant conversation with that doctor that I was seeking out. Now, that's the knee-jerk reaction, and yet somebody called the federal police on me and said, this lady is disruptive.
Right.
This is what veterans are dealing with, Jim.
Well, no, and that's a problem where we have a lot of people in decision-making capacities. They really don't have leadership skills to begin with. I mean, this is what, if anything, that the COVID showed society is that there's a bunch of very weak people, and if they're given any amount of power, they don't know how to handle it. I mean, let's go to the hostess at the Olive Garden. You know, she tells you to put this thing on your face or you're going to kill us all. But when you get to your table, you just take it off. I mean, you saw the lunacy which we were dealing with. I mean, and then you have these people, those same type people, who work in the VA and who are given these authorities to call the cops, to escalate things and not make things actually better. What if we just tried a little bit better for each other? I mean, that would be amazing, right? We wouldn't have to deal with this other stuff that we're dealing with, but this overburdensome indecision and deflection of somebody else's action. Oh, I'm going to deflect over here because, oh, you know, she scared me. Why? She asked you to do your job? Hey, can you do your job for me? Oh, that's just too much for me today.
Oh, it's just too much for that. And, you know, when my husband had his surgery 2-3 days later, we had to move him to a bed downstairs on the first floor in the living room. And here's my husband, You know, he was 82nd Airborne, Green Beret, Special Forces, and here he is crawling, literally on his hands and knees, back and forth from the living room of the bed to the bathroom. That nobody should have to do that. And that right. is hard on the knees, and it's dangerous to have his foot that close to the floor when he just got out of surgery. And to make it even worse, the hospital, and I don't mind mentioning, it was Mercy Hospital through Catholic Charities. Mercy Hospital has a history of killing more people than you can imagine. I remember one wow. time my husband and I were at Mercy Hospital in Reading, and that guy was a veteran. And he was bleeding into his back, and my husband had to drag a nurse down to the CCU where he just had open heart surgery from a heart attack and show that he was bleeding into his bag because she didn't believe my husband. Here's my husband. His foot would not close or heal for over 6 months. You want to know why? Because the hospital was using equipment and surgery that had not been properly sterilized. Wow. And when my husband was doing his clinicals at the VA hospital in Roseburg, he noticed that the many of the CNAs and the licensed nurses going from patient to patient were not washing their hands. When they went out of one room into the next room, they weren't washing their hands. Some of the doctors weren't washing their hands, so they weren't using universal precautions. And then he noticed when they were doing their vitals, their blood pressure, pulse, and respiration, they were writing down for almost every patient 18 respiration, 19 respiration, or using almost the same pulse for every patient. Now, that is falsification right. of records, and it's somebody who does not want to take the actual vital signs. This was the VA Roseburg. That is right. inexcusable, Jim.
Well, and again, this is where, you know, okay, do we hold them accountable? And the problem is that I talked about this on my show just on Monday, and I talked about the one, there's like three segments to life. There's those shiny objects who will do whatever it takes to lie to you to maintain their glory, right? And then there's that middle three quarters that they'll give in to anything. They really don't want to push you too hard. They'll tell you whatever it is you want to hear, but they're not really going to lie to you, but they're not going to not lie to you. But then there's that bottom part down there that has they're going to tell you the truth. It's probably going to cost them a lot of money. It may cost them their job to be truthful with you, but they're out there. The sad part of this is if we could just get that bottom segment to be greater, because we show that, hey, just being super honest and transparent makes a better world around us. What if we could grow that segment and we could grow those people in that knowledge base to say, hey, listen, we're going to make sure we live at this higher standard of living. Instead of having this majority of these people who are just willing to be mealy mouths that will go with whatever's going on, right? And the top, you know, ego-driven, those guys we can't chase down. But what if those truth people really got into these positions of authority and actually create a better society because we put the effort into it? And it's not really about changing America. It's just about putting that effort in.
What would you recommend for people, whether they're veterans or they're people in the medical field in general, that are finding that their doctors or their nurses are not listening to them and the families? What would you say to someone? How can they advocate for themselves when you got the case like in Idaho where the couple knew that their child needed to be taken out of the hospital and somewhere else, and the hospital held the child hostage and got CPS involved in it, and the children end up becoming pawns of a hospital administration, that even a hospital says, look, we're not going to put the money out for this child. We're going to let the child die because it's going to cost too much to save this child. How do people advocate when the medical establishment nowadays has become such a Gestapo across the country?
Well, there's two things. One thing is when you said that someone's not worth saving, the value of that, that's Obamacare that brought in the what they call death panels, which creates the value of life on the money of return. So if there's an ROI, return on investment, they're going to put $100,000 into you. They want to make sure that they're getting their million out of you. So that is a real thing. That is an Obamacare. It is written in law. Okay, so what? Let's go to the other part of that. COVID. Okay, COVID was the biggest, you know, fart in the wind. You know, it was never what it was supposed to be. It was all a big lie. Everybody had symptoms, but that was all snake peptide things, and we're not going to talk about that, but we had to understand that whole thing. But what it did, it was it created networks of nurses and lawyers and doctors who now, if you feel like you're not getting what you need, or you're getting pushed to vaccinate, or you're getting pushed into surgeries, or being pushed into something with your children, there are literally networks of doctors, lawyers, and nurses in every state that will stand by your side, has the paperwork, has the proven court document, case, law, that says you don't have to do this, this, and this, or they have to do these things for you. And so that's one of the things that really what happened during this whole COVID thing was there was some real infrastructure put in for people's rights and liberties where that was never really there before, especially before COVID. And so if people are having these issues, one thing, talk a lot. You know, start talking about it, right? The other is, if you really need help, reach out to me. I can get you a hold of the right people, and they can help you with that kind of stuff.
That is wonderful to know, because it's been, even for someone like myself, you know, my father-in-law took the Moderna and had cognitive decline, dizziness, and ended up having a heart attack in front of my husband. And the reason my husband was down there is because after he took the Moderna, he had the dizziness, the cognitive decline, he fell and he injured his back, and he looked like he had, you know, second-degree burns on his back. So my husband went all the way down to California and was taking care of him. And fortunately, my husband has a background in nursing and was able to save his dad's life. But unfortunately, a week later, he was left alone by a relative of mine, and she found him. He had the second fatal heart attack. Now, we now know that was due to pericarditis or myocarditis. I've lost three cousins, ages 32, 42, and 73, who took the jab, and one of them died that night in front of her husband after taking the jab. My neighbor across the street had the fourth one and ended up with four strokes and died 2 weeks later. My mother died 8 days after my father-in-law from taking the Moderna. She ended up with blood clots throughout her body, but the hospital listed it as COVID, because for every person they list as COVID, even if it wasn't COVID, they get, you know, $25,000 to $45,000 per hospital patient.
Oh, and that number is actually, if you get closer to the numbers, depending on intubation and depending on remdesivir courses, that number could actually be higher than $200,000. And then if they actually do die and they do some service, which is like nothing, there's another like $800 bonus at the end. I mean, these people were really about the zeros and making sure that they protected their bottom line. How is it that all these hospitals that didn't have patients were still making profits? Well, it's because they were profiting off of us. We lost trillions of dollars over that whole debacle to find out that it was all just fake. And so we were so driven by fear.
Yes, and it was fear that was driving a lot of people. Fortunately, people, you know, there were some people in my family, and we just, I don't know if it was the God thing, there was an inner voice or prompting or something, but, you know, we said, we are not going to take that jab. Just something was telling us, this is not good, and there's going to be bad results. Now, fortunately, I knew somebody who had been involved previously with the deep state and had left a certain employment because of what he knew was going on. And he actually contacted me in 2018, 2019, kind of gave me a little bit of a hint of what was coming, but not the actual details, because even he himself did not know specifically all the details. But some of the things he shared with me, when I talked to my brother in December 2019, I thought, oh my goodness, that sounds a lot of what my friend Top, who was former military, was sharing with me. And sure enough, in 2020, many of the things that Top had shared with me that he and the others had wanted me to know about were all coming true. Now, have you ever covered on your show, the Jim Price show, have you ever covered the fact that there's people now who do not want to put their name on their driver's license as an organ donor, because they're finding out, not just in China and in Europe and other places overseas, but here in the United States with many of our leading hospitals and university hospitals, that there is a black market on body organs. And I remember years ago being told that a family member said, no, we do not want his organs to be donated. He was 23 years old. And later on, when he was getting ready to be laid to rest, the family was approached by the mortician and said, did you know that all of his body organs were removed? So there is a black market going on with some of our leading hospitals as far well, as
that's organ when
donation.
The big money for transplants come in, right? So if you got somebody who's on the edge and, you know, that person happens to be a match and then you can get 12 organs out of that person, do you think they're going to put the same effort into saving that person that is not an organ donor? I mean, that's kind of just money, common sense of it, right? Look what they did with the COVID. Look what they did with the remdesivir. I mean, they're willing to do that with remdesivir. Putting, you know, throwing you, you know, pulling your organs. Come on, that's a way better, you know, profit ratio than even remdesivir. So why wouldn't they?
It's huge. And, you know, the thing is, I think it was probably Mike in the studio said, they call you brain dead, but you're still viable. So they have to keep you alive to get your organs, properly harvested out of you. But, you know, that reminds me of a story. This took place back in the 1990s. And at that time, my husband and I, we were living in California, and I got a phone call from my ex-husband, whose family lived down in Monterey. And his father had been in the military, in the army himself. And my ex called me up and said, my sisters are in a panic because this and this is happening and they're not allowed to see our mom. Well, eventually I got down there and I called the sheriff's department. I called the police and we got her taken into Silas Behaves Army Hospital at Fort Ord in Monterey at the time. And the doctors kept coming in saying, and this was my former mother-in-law, okay? They kept coming in saying, she's brain dead, she's brain dead. Well, I walked over, and I took one look at her, and I held her hand. And again, I don't know if it was a God moment, but I said, she's not brain dead. And the doctors were telling my former sister-in-laws, oh, no, she's brain dead, she's brain dead. And I looked at my former sister-in-laws, I said, do not let them pull the plug, she's not brain dead. And they said, how do you know? And I said, I don't know, I just know. And so they didn't. And do you know, 2 days later, Jim, she woke up asking for my older son, my only daughter, and the two dogs that we had given her.
Wow.
So this is back in the 90s. So for people out there, when they tell you that somebody's brain dead, or they've taken one or only two tests, and after one or two tests, they want you to believe they're brain dead, don't believe it, because there is a chance they want those nice, healthy organs. I don't trust them. I'm sorry, Jim. I don't trust them anymore. Yeah. I don't trust the AMA. I'm refusing to renew my nursing license this year. I do not trust most of the medical establishment any longer. I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't. I really don't.
Well, and that's what they've created in us, right? They've created that distrust on their end, and that's their fault. That's on them. They had the ability to maintain a certain amount of trustworthiness and openness and admit guilt and admit, you know, where they may or may not have gone wrong, and that allows them to, you know, actually gain that trust with us. But they blew it all up. They blew that up with, you know, chasing the money. This remdesivir thing is really not going to go down in history the way they want it to.
Now, do you think that in the case of our veterans, how many of our veterans nowadays, what we're hearing, and this is going all over the place. I used to be an Army Reserve recruiter during part of my 35 years in the service. And during that time I was in, I was hearing stories from some of these veterans of, you know, they're saying, you know what? So many veterans now are learning not to trust the medical establishment. And now we're finding a lot of military people are refusing to re-up. Many of them that got kicked out of the military because they wouldn't take the jab, now the Army and the Navy are promising to bring them back in again and let them have their old rank back and even their military occupational specialties. And yet many of these troops that were kicked out of the military, even dishonorably, who are now being asked to come back in because our numbers are so low, they're being saying, hell no, we won't go.
Yeah. Well, and that's a sad, again, that's that whole trust thing, right? When you go out and you abuse like in this way, and it was through these people who did not have the ability to be in charge. Like I said, it's the hostess at Olive Garden, right? She had no business being the gatekeeper, but she was given this mantle to carry, right? Mask everybody up before they get to the table. You know, that we see this over and over again. It's a repeat of too many people have been put in position only because it's their turn, not because they have great skills or because they're leaders. And sometimes the people that maybe have not as much experience but are great leaders are better off being the leader than the guy who's been there for 30 years. It's not always about whose turn it is, but it actually who's that genuine leader. And we found that in Trump, right? Trump showed that he's a leader. He's out in front saying, here's where we're going to go. I'm going to get my machete out, and I'm going to chop the jungle with you. That's what leadership looks like. He's going to go out there. He's going to chop it up with you. He's going to talk real. That's what leadership looks like. And that's why it looks so weird and so glaring in Washington, D.C. and across this globe that someone in a true servant position was being a servant, but also a leader, a servant leader. And that's what he showed us at that time. But we can't, when we see that now, that we see that void, and then we start looking around the organizations around us, from the police departments to the military, to the medical services, even to our churches, and we go, are these the right people leading us now? Or do we have the right kind of people there now that we see these? Again, we had Trump there for a minute, and now that void is created. Boy, what a vacuum has been created there. But it also makes us self-aware of the world around us to say, hey, we need to be better about this. We need to make sure that our world is in a better place.
Well, the whole thing is, as people are saying, they're so discouraged, Jim. You know, we looked at what happened with the J6ers, and all those judges are corrupt. They've also been bought and paid for, or they have to make these rulings, or they lose their jobs, or their families are threatened. But so many people are going to prison for years who were not even around the Capitol, let alone they didn't even walk inside the Capitol. It makes me angry that when I see so many of our veterans and former law enforcement officers were actually walked into the Capitol by the Capitol Police and given a tour of the inside of the Capitol, and now they are cooling their heels in jail. These are veterans and people that didn't destroy anything. They didn't steal anything out of the Capitol. They didn't cause any destruction. And yet the Antifa, the Black Lives Matter, they were the ones with CNN that were going into the Capitol and causing disruptions. And yet I don't see any Antifa or Black Lives Matter or anybody from the CNN news crew sitting in jail themselves.
Well, oh, absolutely, and that is a true disgrace. With the black eye that shows that really our justice system has turned into nothing more than a judicial system or a political arm, and not a judicial system, but a legislative system. And that's where we've got to fight back against this and say, listen, this is not how we're going to do it, and we have to start standing up together. But individually, they can take us out, right? But not if everybody comes together. And the sad part of this is how this has worked, but in the glaring example of January 6th, now that we have had this, I think, just work with me a little bit here, I do believe a lot of this was absolutely necessary to that way that even the normies, even the people that are really kind of slow and they eat their crayons at lunch, even those guys are kind of catching up now, realizing that I spent 17 years of my life putting in ground-penetrating radar in government buildings, high security command centers, and I was doing that as a job, as a designer, an engineer, as a vice president of an international defense company. I was telling you right now, I put ground-penetrating radar in the ground because we tunnel under other countries, and we know other countries tunnel under us. And so when people don't think about, oh, well, that's not real, or this isn't real, well, how could the tunnels be real? I spent my career putting in devices so we could tell if a mouse moved in under the building. That's how sensitive they were. That's how afraid they were that other people were coming under our buildings in the middle of our country.
So are you telling me that all those tunnels we hear from the East Coast to the West Coast, those tunnels exist, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've got documentation to it. But here's the problem is it's kind of like, it's like so they don't want to own it, right? They're the ones that farted in the elevator, and they don't want to own it. Oh, they just ignore us, right? We sing, hey, what's going on here? And they're like, oh, look over there, UFOs. And they distract you with all this other stuff. They know this documentation's out there. They know MKUltra documentation's out there. They know that the Looking Glass and what that was, and they know all these different things that they have released, and then they don't even answer to it. And the sad part of it is I worry sometimes even the stuff that they're supposedly releasing to us is not more just of another PSYOP on top of a PSYOP. That they're giving us fake information to run down a rabbit trail that may or may not be there. I mean, there are things to verify. But the sad part of this is, why can't my government that I love America, but why can't my government, my small g government, stop lying to me? Why can't they just quit their crap? I mean, just give us a break and just let the honesty flow. And let's just get this all right. And that's all it is. we've got a bunch of people trying to protect their $15 an hour jobs in the government. Honestly, that's the average pay of the government employee is not very high, folks. There are some shining stars. They're low-end government jobs. And these people are just trying to keep a low-end government job. Well, why don't we just say, hey, you guys go take a break. We'll pay you for the rest of your life, but we're not hiring any more government employees. And would we really miss them? Will we miss the government? Will we miss that Leviathan that's going out there and killing babies globally? Will we miss them not doing what we asked them to do with the money that we gave them, to be the stewards of our money? And so if I just say, hey, government, just stop doing that. Quit lying to me. Imagine what the world would look like if our government just today just stopped the lies. What would it really look like? It'd be amazing, right? It'd be hurtful. I mean, it'd hurt for a while. Yeah, I think there'd be good days ahead. I got to get past it. Go ahead.
Yeah, you said you have to get past what?
Well, you just got to get past the hurt part, right? You get past that little pain in the beginning of the lies that you got to redo your mental history, right? The things that you've built in as you know is normal. Well, I got to undo some of that because my country lied to me. Well, let's get past that, and let's see what the healing looks like. Let's see what it looks like on the other side to live in peace, because we don't hate anybody in Israel. I don't hate anybody in Iran or Iraq, and I know that there's this global thing that keep telling us that we got to be mad at each other, but I really don't think so. I really don't think so. I think if we actually figure this out, we don't have to go around beating each other's door down all the time. We don't have to be so destructive to each other, such a finality. We could be amazing to each other without destroying each other and assisting each other to be better. Wow, what a great planet that would be. No. If you don't believe in my...
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because one of the things that a lot of people have been sharing with me is regarding, you know, even like the issue with the veterans and stuff, the delay, deny, and hope we die in the process. We've seen so much of that going on, and Bill Gates got up just recently and he was talking about the depopulation again. He wants to depopulate the world's population by 90% by the year 2030. That's what, 7 years from now. And he says, oh, and one of the ways to do that, he says, is, you know, through these death panels. But he says, of course, that's a conversation that they feel that is politically incorrect for us to have, a conversation regarding death panels. Well, remember, his father was a eugenics. And actually co-sponsored Planned Parenthood with Margaret Sanger, that was trying to kill off as many black babies as she possibly could before they were even born. So, you know, right. Bill Gates is definitely for death panels. The VA now is going more and more that way. And we've got
Obamacare.
The lady in
that's the law.
Obamacare, exactly.
Obamacare, and, yeah. Death panels came in with Obamacare. And Obamacare is tied to the student loan. So if you try to get rid of Obamacare, you get rid of all the student loan. So it's a double negative, right? So we say, hey, we want to get rid of Obamacare. Well, we have to forgive all the student loans. You see how they did that to us?
Yes.
They can't separate them because of the same pot of money now. It's all a big old black hole of money.
And Pac Woman, she's in Australia listening to you right now. And she says, Maggie, out here in Australia, they say brain dead all the time now, so they can harvest regardless of what our age is. She said, here in Australia, I just found out they did this to a 31-year-old yesterday. They said he was brain dead after he was hit from behind or punched and he fell backwards onto his head. They tried to say he was brain dead, and so they turned off the machine yesterday. They didn't even give him enough time to heal, and so that way they could harvest his organs. So this is going on in Australia, and of course you know that the Red Chinese government, who's part of the United Nations, they should not be, they're actually rounding up many of their Hasfong religious people, young people in their 20s, because they're very healthy, they eat very healthy, and they're putting them in labor camps. And then if you need an organ, all you have to do, Jim, is fly from Kansas to China, say, I'm here to get a kidney, and they will have a kidney for you within 4 days, because they'll go out and deliberately kill a young woman, and they tie them down without any anesthesia, and they literally cut them open while they're awake and take the kidney and take the heart and take the lungs out. This is going on in China, where Biden and our corporations are doing deals with China.
Well, and that's, and the sad part of it, that's real, right? There are people out there, and here's the, I mean, what are they doing with all the aborted babies that we do in just America alone? And then what do they do with the rest of them globally? I mean, you think about what this really sounds like, and it really does line up with the idea that these snake-worshipping lizard people, I don't know what else to call them at this point, because they just keep lining up with that same old kind of rhetoric over and over again. I mean, we've got to realize that our enemy is real, and if we believe that there is a higher power, a spiritual God, and we understand who our evil is or who Satan is, Satan doesn't take your birthday off. And this is going on around us globally, where we have people that are in the VA who actually don't know how to handle themselves as a human being to another human being. We have people in the government who don't even know how to stop being so nefarious and on the take. We've got people in the churches that can't do that either, that are out there just for their own glory. We got to get to a selfless point of view and be less selfish. The selfishness, I think, is the beginning of our sin and where we really go wrong in this whole thing. We could be so much better than this, and we really do need to be better than this. I think we can. I think we're on a great path, but here's how we win, guys. We have more babies, and we live too long. That's how you beat them. And you never stop running your mouth. Never stop talking about what's really going on. And just be that over and over and over again person. But at the same time, have more kids and live longer, because that screws up their plan. If you guys do that throws everything off.
That is beautiful advice. I really, really appreciate you saying that. And do you have a special message to the veterans out there that feel they're being disenfranchised, where many of the people, there are some good people at the VA that really care, and some of the people at the VA that do care are veterans themselves, but there's a whole lot of people in the VA across the United States where they really don't care about veterans. They just want to play politics as usual. What message do you have for those veterans and their family?
Let me tell you guys, this is probably one of the most profound statements that really gets me choked up. But men, and even women, especially the men, I don't, and it doesn't matter what branch you were, if you served a day or if you just thought about it, you are enough and you've always been enough. And just understand that there are people out there who care and they really honestly want the best for you. But sometimes we have to be willing to talk. We have to be willing to open up. And when we do that, we find ourselves harmonizing or resonating with someone else who will come in, and they will be there for you and elevate you into that next position, the next part of your life. But don't give up and don't give in. That's not how it works. Now, life is worth living, and life is hard, but it's never, ever meant for you to quit. So till your last dying breath, make sure you understand you fight for the freedoms and liberties that those of us that can't or couldn't, that you do. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that, Jim. And Jim, I want to put out a big shout out to Jonathan Lamb Jr. In Montana. He just got married November the 18th. I want to say congratulations to Rebecca and Jonathan Lamb Sr. for the marriage of their son, Jonathan Jr. Congratulations to you all out there in Montana. Jim, would you please, before we sign off, would you give your website again and how people can reach you for the Jim Price Show?
Yep. TheJimPriceShow.com, TheJimPriceShow.com, or go to Twitter, Facebook, Spotify, iTunes. You just go out there anywhere you want, Podbean, put in The Jim Price Show, and I should come up, and I'm out there everywhere. If you guys want to get a hold of me, it's really easy. Go to my website, click on the email, and I respond back within minutes usually, because I like keeping that clean and keeping contact constant with everybody. So if you guys need anything, reach out to me. I'm here for you.
God bless you, folks. This is Jim Price, the Jim Price of the Jim Price Show out in Kansas. God bless you, sir. Thank you, Jim, for coming on co-hosting with me today. I really appreciate it. It was an honor to have you come back.
Thank you very much. It was great. Thank you, guys, very much. God bless.
God bless, Jim. Happy Thanksgiving, folks, from Maggie Rose and Republic Broadcasting Network, and from Jeffrey Bennett of The Edge of Darkness. Again, this is Maggie Rose, and I hope you all have a very safe Thanksgiving, and make sure you wear your seatbelts. God bless you all, and we'll talk to you all on Monday. Good night.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.